give your all where you're at. And then if it ever changes in time, that's okay.
Today on the Rising Coaches podcast, we get the pleasure of speaking with a former Division I assistant coach, current Rising Coaches member, and current financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual, Coach Kevin Noon. Noon has made various coaching stops, ranging from being a walk-on, then manager at Rider University, to a graduate assistant at the University of Miami, director of basketball operations at the University of Maryland, back to Rider as the Dobo, and most formerly Bowling Green University as an assistant for 8 years. Coach Noon now works, as mentioned, as a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual, looking to assist everyone, but primarily looks to assist basketball coaches in the industry with their financial planning. Please welcome Coach Kevin Noon. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. You got your favorites here, Doug and Alan. And today on the podcast, we have the pleasure of speaking with someone who is not only coached in the Division I ranks in the NCAA, but is now working with Northwestern Mutual as a financial advisor. And we will get more into how that will be beneficial for everybody. He's also a member of the Rising Coaches organization since the beginning days, actually. And we have Coach Kevin Noon here. Coach Noon, what's going on?
Not much. I appreciate you guys having me. So, and I hear Rising Coaches, I love it. So that's where I got my start and always appreciative for Rising Coaches.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you being here.
I know I just mentioned real briefly, but with Northwestern Mutual, what we're going to do is we'll talk about that kind of more towards the end. But first, I want to make sure to touch on just you and your coaching career. I know I mentioned that in the introduction that we give everybody, it mentions all the stops that you had made. But out of all of those stops, like for you, I guess most recently with Bowling Green as an assistant, as we said, under Coach Huger, who is now actually an assistant at Temple. Out of all those stops, what are some things that maybe you took away and maybe like one big thing that kind of helped you move from one position to the next?
I had the pleasure, like you know, of working with Jim Larranaga, Keith Thomas, Kevin Baggett, Tommy Dempsey, and Michael Huger. So five different leadership styles. And I think that's the thing is like in coaching, there's no right way or wrong way to do it. There's just your way. And it's always trial and error. So, you know, for me, I think each spot was a different learning experience. Each spot was an opportunity to grow professionally and as a coach. But my one big takeaway is no matter what it is, you got to work hard. I mean, it's a business where you're going to continually pour yourself into the players, pour yourself into the program. And you're going to get the most out of it when you do that. But at the same time, you still got to worry about yourself. But there's no substitution for the hard work. And I think that was evident with everyone I worked for is, hey, they got to those top spots because they put in the effort and they were willing to learn and be coached over time. And I think if you're going to coach people, you have to be willing to be coached as well.
You know, what I like about this, Kevin, is like, obviously you have a different title now, but you've actually become a head coach just in a different world.
Yeah.
Right. Because All your clients are your teams. You know, that's kind of the team that you put together, your clients, the people that you're now working with. So have you kind of, do you see yourself now when you kind of talk to people, quote unquote, coach people in this new, in this new world, like, do you find yourself using a little bit of each one of those leadership styles?
Because 100%.
Everybody kind of has to get communicated with it in their own way with what you're doing now, just like players do.
I tell people all the time, if you've coached and you've experienced the coaching industry, you can do anything in the world. it's the coaching is one of the hardest professions out there. There's so many skills that you learn and you develop over time. There's a selflessness that comes with it. When you're in a recruiting position, there's communication skills that come with it. There's an honesty factor. There's treating people the right way. What I do now, and I know we'll get into that, is really the same job as coaching. You're game planning, you're recruiting, you're problem solving, and you're treating people the right way. And if you do those four things, then you're going to help people be in a better position. So I say to people all the time, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now if I didn't coach for 11 years, because those 11 years prepared me to do this. My goals and my priorities and things I wanted to do in life changed, and that's okay. You know, so like I coached, I was chasing that dream, and then now I'm doing something different and I love it. You know, I think a message for all coaches out there and young coaches, especially in a changing environment, like give your all where you're at. And then if it ever changes in time, that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that.
I feel like a lot of times probably people get into coaching and then they're like, I'm not necessarily sure. People could be unsure. Like, is this what I really want to do long term, especially with all the travel commitments, depending on, you know, the level that you're at and just the time commitment that it takes. But I do want to say real quickly too, a brief story just for anybody listening who's kind of in the young ranks. So Coach Noon, and I don't even know if I mean, I'm sure you know this, but the first time I met you in person was at Bowling Green's practice.
Yeah.
And for me, how I got into that practice was I shot a plethora of emails out to a bunch of random. He was one of them that got back to me, but then also your one assistant, Austin Gardner. He was the one who initially got back to me. He was the younger guy. And basically where I'm going with this is I shot a bunch of emails out to every single school. And I even have the list over here of every school. And I have everybody's email written down and the school that they were at and yada, yada. Shot a bunch of emails out, got into Bowling Green, and then just watched the practice. And you know, now I'm acquainted with Coach Noon. And he's also my financial advisor now at this point. So so things go full circle. But just wanted to make sure to like kind of mention that, just because I'm sure there's kids out there, younger people out there listening that are like, how do I get my name out there? You just got to put in a little bit of the time, and then you'll meet people over time.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Doug. Like, I remember when I first got into coaching, I was graduating from Rider, and I shot out a bunch of emails and had people call a bunch of different schools, and luckily enough, there was a connection with the University of Miami, Florida, and I was lucky enough to get the jobs, you know. So, but I didn't know where I was going to go. I just knew I wanted to get into coaching, and I wanted to know how to break in. I didn't care what the school was, who the coach was. I just wanted an opportunity to go in the gym and rebound for some people and learn and soak it in. And kind of similar to you, like there's no right path in this business. It's just it's what your path is. And for me, it was the same thing, you know. Shout out a bunch of emails, and that job at Miami led to me getting to UMBC, led to me getting back to Rider, led to me getting to Bowling Green. And I think it kind of goes to show you, like, hey, even the assistants that are on staff for young people starting out, like they're future head coaches, you know, and soak it in, whether you agree or disagree with everything that's saying, they're future head coaches. And you never know where the path is going to lead you, and everybody's important.
Yeah. You know, let me ask you this, Kevin, what was your first motivation for Rising Coaches for wanting to join? Did somebody kind of refer you, or was it like, hey, you know, I heard about this organization, let me kind of see what's going on? You know, tell us about a little bit of how that got started.
Yeah. So when I was at Miami, I knew nothing about the business. I just remember walking into Miami on day one, walking into the first practice and saying, like, this is a little different than Rider. I think we can be pretty good. And little did I know, I had no clue what the ACC was. I had no clue what anything was. But I remember Michael Huger and Eric Conkle and Chris Caputo, they did a great job of pouring into the three grad assistants that were there. One of them was myself. And their message was always, hey, you got to build genuine networks in the business. You have to learn to meet people. You have to understand who other people are. And you should get involved in some different things. And one of the things that they recommended was, hey, there's this new thing called Rising Coaches. Things have been around for a year. Probably people in similar positions to you, but people are always so focused in networking up, but at the same time, you got to know people that are at the entry level points as you, because you're going to climb the ladders together, and then those people are going to become head coaches. So I went to the first, I think it was the second conference out in Vegas that they had, and met a ton of people, and all of those are still friends today. I still talk to them on a weekly basis and monthly basis. So it's incredible where that journey has led 11 years later. And some people are head coaches Division I, some people are in NBA, some people are in the G League, some people are still in support staff roles, and some people have gotten out of the business, and I'm clients of theirs in different ways. So it's amazing where that led, but I wouldn't have done it without the encouragement and being willing to accept, you know, what Eric Conkle and Michael Huger and Chris Caputo were telling me.
Yeah, you know, I love the fact you said that, because especially as young coaches, it's really it's great to network anyway, but usually networking up ends up being like the main focus, right? Like, how do I connect with somebody that's where I want to be? But what you said is great, because networking across is almost right. equally valuable than as networking up. I mean, and sometimes it's a little bit more challenging to network up. Not that impossible, but yeah, because sometimes the guys that are where you want to be, they're networking across with each other too.
Right.
So, you know, so, but the fact you said that is great, because I think it's important that you not discriminate how you network, because like you just said, like, you just never know. And
right.
even if you're a full-time guy out there and you think that guy's just a GA, he can't do anything for me. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, because you just never know. So whether it's up, across, down, however that looks, not that I'm, you know, not to degrade any position less than anything else, but the point is, don't discriminate how you network, right? Like,
yep.
because you just never know where these paths are headed.
You know, I was fortunate enough that Michael Huger promoted me from director of ops to assistant coach. And I remember when he hired me from Ryder to Bowling Green. I was ops at Ryder, went to ops at Bowling Green. He had said, like, hey, what's your goals in your career? I said, well, my next step was I want to be an assistant coach. I want to coach. And he's like, if you come here and you be a star in your role and you do your job and you do it really well and you stay in your lane, but I'm going to give you opportunities and meetings and different things. Obviously, rules were different back then where I couldn't be on the court and those things. But he said, like, you know, if you do that, like, that's where you earn trust. And you're not going to earn trust by trying to do somebody else's job to show that you can do it. And I went there, and sure enough, 1 year later, Lou Rowe became the head coach at James Madison, and coach moved me up. And when he moved me up, he said, do you remember what I told you when I hired you? And I said, like, yeah, just be a starting role and do a good job. And the follow up question to that was, now we need to replace your position. Who do you know can do what you just did in operations? And luckily enough, we had somebody really good internally that he also promoted. But that question, coach, you know this, like, sometimes knowing people at similar levels to you, you now have an opportunity to help them and help your program at the same time by, hey, coach, this would be a good person that can do my job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff, man.
And to tie it all in real quick, I guess the last thing until we kind of move on to the next step, but what really got you into coaching? What was your moment where you're like, all right, this is what I want to do?
You know, I grew up.
Loaded question.
Yeah, I grew up watching North Carolina basketball. Why? I have no clue. I just was a big Psycho T, Tyler Hansbrough fan, just watching the guy with the bloody nose. I'm like, this guy's tough. Like, I want to coach him. I want to coach people like that. So, you know, for me, like, just seeing that stuff and then thinking, like, you know, the pipe dream is, hey, you can be that one day. You can be the person coaching them. And I was good enough to probably play Division III basketball and went to Ryder. Was a volunteer high school assistant coach my first year. The managers had quit at Ryder. I went in, somehow convinced them to let me be a manager. I'm pretty sure that they did it because my roommate and I, they were playing Kentucky. We drove to Kentucky. We didn't tell our parents we were doing it. They ended up getting mad at us after the fact. And then the coach was like, who's these two kids that just drove all the way to Kentucky? Anyway, we both became managers, and sure enough, they were short on players a couple of years into being a manager, and I was practicing with them, and they knew I wanted to get into coaching, and you know, they gave me the opportunity to walk on my senior year. And I think just that whole experience of being a manager, seeing behind the scenes what the coaches actually do, you know, what goes into the scouting report, how I'm able to help them and alleviate stuff from them, and then having the opportunity to sit in the locker room and hear the positive and the negative that players may talk about. You know, look, players are always talking about coaches, and coaches are already talking about players, but at the end of the day, you still got to perform in the game. So I think being able to see both sides of that, it really kind of, you know, gave me perspective of, like, while I'm really unique, I have the perspective of manager, perspective of player, and I've had insight to both. I really want to do this. And I think that experience at Ryder, and I'm grateful for Tommy Dempsey and Kevin Baggett for doing that. It is really what kind of drove me into that business. And I loved it. I loved my 11 years with it.
First time I've ever heard of a manager protest benefiting somebody. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty amazing, but I guess in your case, thank goodness they did, right? I mean,
like,
talk about a door opening up in the strangest way possible. That's a new
That's
one.
Funny.
So then the next thing we'll touch on is we'll kind of just dive right into, as we mentioned, you're with now currently post your coaching career, Northwestern Mutual, and as a financial planner. So I guess just give us real quick your, I know you already kind of went over this with me and I mentioned how we have a call here in a couple hours about this, kind of going over everything with my plan, but what you do for coaches, like what you, I guess what you strive to do and just really kind of the background of everything that you said that you would help out. I know you mentioned you'd help out with coaches. I'll just kind of let you take it and run with it from there.
Yeah, so I really had two things I was always interested in was coaching and then financial planning. And I think with coaching, coaches get so tied up in helping players, working out, guys, recruiting, traveling all the time, where we don't have time to stop and think about ourselves. We go from school to school. We pour into 401ks and 403bs and all these things that we don't know where they're at. You know, you go to four or five different schools and we're not thinking about down the road. So I knew when I transitioned out of coaching that I still wanted to be involved in the game. And I thought, how can I do that? Obviously, you can go in the sports industry, you can do a lot of different things. And for me, it was like, hey, why can't I couple the two things together? Why can't I couple my experience with coaching with another passion that I have? And that ultimately led to me being with Northwestern. Did a bunch of interviews, loved the people here, loved the culture, loved what they were about. And as I meet with coaches, it's really helping them plan, you know, and helping them plan for making $20,000 as a video coordinator, to them making $75,000 as an assistant, to them making $200,000 as a high major assistant, to then going back and losing your job to making $75,000 again. It's helping head coaches when they do get that big break of, hey, how much should you really be allocating? Where should you be putting your money? What protections do you need in place? How can we make sure your family's okay? And how can we make sure that you have enough liquidity if you do lose your job and you're in the market? So I think for coaches, we spend so much time game planning for other people, but we don't game plan for ourselves. And that's ultimately what I'm trying to do here, is just help coaches alleviate that. And like, hey, let me game plan for you. I'm not here to make decisions for you, but let me help game plan for you. And then ultimately educate you and give you a path that you can alleviate one thing off your mind so you can do what you do best, which is coach.
And especially that's like a definitely a, as you mentioned, the people at the lower levels. I mean, my first position was a grad assistant, and I honestly, I was fortunate because I was making $10,000. So $10,000 at the time, the places.
You're doing backstrokes in money, man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, and I found that out. And I was like, wow, okay, this is a great deal, you know, but I took that and ran. But at the same point, you also, as a kid, I mean, you still have to student loans and things like that, that you have to be able to pay off. And that was always kind of a big thing that scared me, was how do I make all this work? So having somebody like this to be able to kind of help you talk through with things. Just the questions that he's asked me from the first conversation that we had, you can kind of see where it's going to go and how it'll be beneficial. But obviously I'm curious to see how it goes this afternoon, just to, you know, cause I'm big on finances, but I think this will even help coaches too. Like, so if you don't mind, talk about like the process that coaches would go through. So maybe the first conversation that they had with, or I should say that we had, you can kind of go over that and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. I mean, my process is pretty straightforward. Obviously I do everything on a non-fee basis for coaches. So like building out the plan for you, you can walk away. It hasn't cost you anything. And it's really just, I'm passionate about helping coaches, but really you get on a phone call or a Zoom and I learn more about you, you know, learn more about who you are. What are your goals personally, professionally, financially? Where are you at now? And where are you in the future? You know, what does your current school offer from retirement standpoint, from a benefit standpoint, from a life insurance standpoint, if you have kids? And then ultimately, I take all that information back and I put it into a comprehensive plan, and I come back and I educate you on, hey, how are things working? These buckets of money that you're putting 10% of your salary in and they're matching four, you know, how is that going to affect you now? And how is that going to affect you down the road? And when you leave that school, what happens to that? You know, and then educating you on, hey, if something happens to you, is your family taken care of? What are your needs in that area? And then ultimately, I'm creating a roadmap and a game plan for you, making recommendations, and if there are any. And then ultimately, you guys hold the keys to the car. So, you know, you decide when you start, when you stop, when you go, when you turn. And my goal is really just to kind of be in the passenger seat and alleviate something off of your mind that's so important. Because, Coach, you know this, like, the ball's going to stop bouncing for players, but it's going to stop bouncing for coaches one day too. And, you know, are you going to – everything you've done for those 30, 40 years where you've been pouring into somebody else – is it going to be enough for you to live on and support yourself with the lifestyle that you want? But everything's obviously intended to meet your goals. And I think my perspective is unique. There's a lot of people you can work with because I've lived your life. I've worked doing what you're doing. And I understand you're not talking to me from November to March, you know? And if I call you on a Tuesday and you have a game, like, I'm the last person you want to hear from. And I also understand from March to April, like, you know, if you had a bad season, you're sitting there biting your fingernails, like, am I going to have a job? But we already got a game plan if that happens. So so that's kind of what the expectation is. And then of moving forward basis is, hey, I want to, you know, obviously around the coaching schedule and the off season, let's get together. Let's revisit everything. Let's incorporate your family into this and give me an hour of your time once a year and it'll be beneficial for you.
Yeah, no, it's such a unique feel, man. I mean, it's just created a perfect match for you. And I mean, that's really all any of us want is to find a groove where we can feel comfortable and, you know, you're adding value to other people. And what was the connections from, and how much time was it from when you finished coaching to starting at Northwestern? And how did that connection occur? Did someone refer Northwestern to you? Did you know someone that worked for them?
Yes. So funny enough, like every coach, I had been reached out to by advisor. My brother referred me to his advisor, who I then pushed off for 2 years. I did the meetings and our meetings occurred when the season was. And then I said, hey, look, I'm too busy. I can't do this right now. And then my wife and I were expecting our first child. And sure enough, I called him back. I was like, hey, this became a little bit more important for me.
Right. No more Heisman stiff arms after that.
Yeah. So he's like, wait, push me off for 2 years. But anyway, so we ended up implementing a bunch of different stuff that I've been really happy that I've done. And at the end of the call, he had said to me, you know, I had been thinking about transitioning out of coaching, and he had said to me, like, hey, do you know anyone that is interested in an internship? And I was like, no. And you know, but, you know, I'd be open to hearing about the career. And one thing led to another. And sure enough, you know, here I am. And, you know, it just kind of led. So when I was done coaching in March, I started my training program in April and then hit the ground running in May. And it's been awesome. I love it. And I love what I'm doing. And I really, really am passionate about helping people in general, you know, not just coaches, but it's the same job. But now I actually get to make an impact on the people that work in a career that I was passionate about for 11 years and still am.
Good stuff. That's funny, man. Interesting. The relationship thing, it's always.
That's it.
It's just wild how it all plays out. That's good. Yep. Good stuff.
How many, and this is just like, you don't have to go into details with this, but this is, I mean, it's not even necessarily specific to you, but I guess for me, like majority of my jobs, I'd say what, 95%, maybe one job I got just solely on my own. And that was like an internship in college. Every other job, and I'm not even kidding when I say that, every other job I've either known somebody or I reached out to somebody who knew somebody there and then they ended up helping me out. So it's kind of crazy, but I was just going to say like, the amount of just knowing people, but not also kind of like knowing, I'm messing the phrase up here, knowing people, but then also people knowing you and knowing what work you're capable of doing is what I'm getting at. And it's crazy how that like all ties into everything and kind of help you out later on down the line. But for you, what are some best ways that coaches can like connect with you or contact you in order to kind of use you as a financial advisor?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think in coaching when, you know, coaches, like everyone's cell phone's numbers out there. So for me, like, right. You know, my cell phone number's out there. Just give me a call. You know, just give me a call. And like, reality is, like, after the season, I'm going to be reaching out to other coaches, right? See people change jobs. Like, hey, I want to reach out. I want to see if I can help you. If the answer is no, no problem. But if there's people out there that's like, hey, I might want to, you know, start looking at this stuff or at least learn more about it, like, just give me a call. You know, like, my cell phone's 856-261-6427. Like, give me a call. And, and we can, we can go from there, you know? So, but I think, Doug, you hit it on the head, man. Like, who you know is important, but what they know about you is equally as important too. If they know you're a hard worker, they know you're an honest person, they know you go about things the right way, and they can vouch for your net, I think that's just as important as knowing them.
Do you have a site, Kevin, with Northwestern, like this? Do
I do? I have my own website. I can send you the link to that.
Yeah, send us the link, and then we can actually post that when your pod drops. So
yeah, that'd
we
be awesome.
Put that out on social as well.
Perfect. And then off of that, I mean, I guess, like, really that's primarily the big question. Is there anything else from the financial advisor or even really just coaching side of things that maybe you want to kind of fill in, throw in there last second for anybody else?
Yeah, I think just kind of tying it all together, like, look, coaching's a special industry. And when you're in the most unbelievable fraternity of people that you can be around. You're surrounded by other people that work hard, other people that are doing something for the betterment of others. And it comes with the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. But being around good people is most important. But I think for all the coaches out there in general, like, you know, what you put in is what you're going to get. And for me, Rising Coaches got me into the industry, and I'm forever grateful for them. But then also for me, like, hey, my priorities change. You know, I live in New Jersey. My family's in New Jersey. My wife's family's in New Jersey. We love being back and being by them. Doesn't take away from my passion from coaching, but I'm now able to impact the game in a lot of different ways. So I think for people out there, hey, if you lose your job and, you know, you feel like the world's ending, it's not. There's other opportunities out there, and there's other ways to be involved in the game. And for the people who are fortunate enough to climb to the top, like you, coach, like, you know, be grateful for those opportunities, because not everyone gets a chance to do it, and make the most of it. And it's a special, special profession. And I just look forward to helping as many coaches as I can, and you know, changing the narrative around where people are from a financial standpoint in that profession, and making that a priority for them.
Great stuff, man. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the fact you said that, like, you know, lanes do change, right? Like, you can, that doesn't mean you still can't drive fast. You're just in a different lane. But, you know, I think you probably realize when you got away from coaching, you're more skilled than you thought you were.
Oh, big time.
Right. Like, big time. More stuff translated than you thought it would. And so the chance to live that out, that's pretty cool, man.
But I appreciate you guys having me. This was great. And anything I can do for Rising Coaches, I'm always here. And
well, we still got the final segment.
Let's do it.
Final segment. Yeah. I just wanted to wrap up any final things on there. So it'll be real quick. It's nothing extensive. Really, all it is just three quick hitters. I guess I kind of segued it to make it sound like we were wrapping up. Oh, no. We're just getting started.
I love it.
So now, like, we talked about the bulk of everything. What we do is we go to a three quick hitters segment. It basically is just shooting three quick questions at you. And really what it does is just kind of gives everybody more of an idea of, you know, who you are, but then also kind of a little bit of details tailored towards you. So as you have a coaching and a financial advisor background, we kind of have a question for both of those. And then at the very end, we wrap it up with the final question. So four more questions, and then we're good. Then I'll get the closing remarks.
Let's do it. I got all the time in the world.
We got until 12 o'clock, right?
That's right.
For you, first one would be your favorite memory of, and I put in quotations, the process. So basically, like, the grind, starting from the very bottom and moving up. Like, was there a specific memory that you had?
Yeah, so cliche to say this, but really the journey is the destination. You know, you look back and you think about all the highs and the lows that really kind of surmounting the coaching industry. But for me, two things pop out to me. And one was the ACC championship game. We're playing Carolina in Greensboro, and like, it was just baby blue, and just watching Shane Larkin and Trey McKinney Jones and Grant Scott and those guys just carry us to victory. I remember sitting at the end of the bench saying, like, whoa, like, well, I'm not supposed to be sitting here right now. And if you go back and watch the game, I'm jumping about 30 inches off my seat, and I only have about a 4-inch vert. So, you know, the adrenaline was pumping. But that moment for me was like, wow, everything that, you know, you've poured in for these years just came to this moment. And that was the only time I got to go to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I cherish that. And then the second one was when we were at Bowling Green, we inherited a rebuild project. Potential portal wasn't there. You were recruiting high school kids. And we got to the point in the 2018-2019 season where we beat Buffalo, who was ranked 14th nationally, in front of the first ever sellout crowd at the Stroh Center at Bowling Green. And that was another moment where it's like, wow, like all these years of pouring in, all the building, you felt like we did something right. And those two moments for me were like the wow moments. So got a lot of low moments too. We're going to focus on the positives. So.
Yeah, there we go. That's right. That's right.
The lows make the goods. Like the low times make those good ones just as great, right?
Yeah.
Makes them even better. And then, of course, for you, the second one would be, do you feel you work with a lot of people with I know we talked before, with people with a lot of money or people with maybe not so much. Do you feel money for those people in general brings happiness?
Whoo, that's a loaded question. Put me through the ringer here. Yes and no. I think what you do with it is most important, and what your expectations are and the lifestyle you want to live are, you know, can be accomplished with the right things. So I think the answer is yes, but it's also no, because if you do the right things with the money, then you're going to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But, you know, there's also, you can't have everything and you can't have nothing. So it's kind of figuring out the balance of both. So I'm gonna stay neutral on that one and say it's both sides. We could talk about those on individual basis with
people. You're the smart man, smart man. I wasn't trying to set you up, but I just figured that would be good for like young coaches to be able to hear that like you're making bare minimum money, you can still be happy doing what you're doing. It's kind of the primary reason that I wanted to sneak it in there.
I appreciate the years where I made less money than the years where I made more. I think, you know, more money, more problems, but at the same time, it's the years where I was making $8,000 and $12,000, $20,000. Like,
yeah,
things were easy then, because it's like you couldn't have a lot of stuff. But there's things I wish I would have done differently and started setting some stuff aside, and I could help younger guys with those.
And you probably felt the joy a little bit more just because you knew money wasn't even an issue. Like, this is what I'm making, so this is what it is. Yeah, I just remember being a restricted earnings coach way back in the day. And like, you just, that was it. Like, they literally put you on a fixed income.
Yeah.
You know, 12 grand a year and a max of 4,000 from camp.
Yeah.
And so if you know that going in, it's like, all right, I'm just going to have fun with this, man. So I don't care how many, you know, little coupons or Subway certificates or, you know, free hoagie sandwiches once a week, or, you know, hitting, buy one, get one free appetizers at this place, and, you know, having a ice water to drink. I mean, you don't care. So you just kind of get caught up in what you're doing. So
start making more money. You start saying, how much do I have to pay in taxes? Like, it's like, man, I miss those McDonald's meals.
No, I'm telling you, that's funny. Good stuff, man.
And it teaches you how to budget. At least that's where I learned it. You know, like it really teaches you how to budget and be able to know, all right, I'm only making $10,000. So I can only spend this much on regards to so-and-so and, you know, food and all that stuff. So it really kind of keeps you in a, you know, mentality as to be able to keep everything in line. But then the last one, the last quick hitter is one thing you wish. This could be just anything. It could be business-wise, it could be just personal-wise. What's one thing you wish you learned more on?
Oh, one thing I wish I learned more on. Well, I'm going to be a little biased here. I'll give a couple things because I don't like to follow the rules. But the first one is really kind of financially, you know, and I am a little biased with that of like, hey, I wish I had done some stuff earlier. I wish I had known more earlier about what my options and opportunities were. And then I think the second thing is, getting the opportunity to learn from multiple people was really, really beneficial for me. Five different head coaches and seeing their different styles and seeing their different leadership styles. If I could go back, I wish I would have done and learned more, like poured into that more, you know, and taken more notes and asked more questions of like, hey, I'm curious, like, you know, that decision, I'm asking this as a learning opportunity, how you approach it's important when you ask this, but like, you know, what led to your thinking behind that? instead of just taking the surface decision and saying, okay, that's what we're going to support, because you always do have to support your head coach's final decision. But, you know, hey, what led to that? And understanding the thought process. So for me, I think if I could rewind the clock and go back, I'd ask a lot more of those questions to the point where they probably tell me, like, get out of my office.
The meeting's over. Let's move on.
Huger was unbelievable with that, where he was an open door to ask those type of questions. And I was forever appreciative. And he treated us unbelievable in losses and treated us unbelievable in wins. It's the reason I stayed with him for 8 years. And I love that guy. But being able to pour into your mentors and your leaders and ask questions and actually pour into the learning, I wish I'd done that more.
That's good. From both aspects, that's great. And then the final question we have to completely tie everything up is, if your number one best piece of advice for young rising coaches who are either trying to get their foot in the door or just move up in the industry, and then how can they accomplish that advice?
Be humble and work hard. I think, none of us know everything, from the grad assistants to the head coaches to the ADs. No one knows everything. And a lot of this industry is trial and error. And a lot of these is you're making the wrong decisions to lead you to the right decisions. And ultimately, you're trying to work towards the same common goal. And for young coaches in the industry, is just understand, hey, you don't know everything, but you're going to learn a lot. And when you learn a lot, like, understand, because something doesn't work out, a decision doesn't work out, doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. It means it's just one step closer to the right decision. And I think I've seen this with all the head coaches. It took me years to develop this mindset too, of like, head coaches are under a lot of pressure. You know, they're under a lot of stress. They're not out there saying, hey, I'm going to make this decision because it's not going to work out. They're saying, I think this is going to work out. This is what I think is best. And when it doesn't, make sure you're supporting them, because head coaches are always checking on you guys as staff. But no one ever checks on them. And there's a lot more that's on their plate. So I think for young coaches going out, hey, stay humble, stay hungry, work hard, and understand that it's a constant growth and learning process. And just be fully present. And if you're not 10 toes in, then, you know, you got to find either a way to get in or you get it out. So I think that's it. Be present, be humble, and support the people that you're working with through good and bad.
Perfect way to cap it off. And then before we get to any closing remarks, I guess, does anybody have any final comments, any last thing to add? Now, this would be the wrap-up part.
Kevin, I just want to say thank you, man. Like, there's so much richness in this. Regardless of, because level, men's, women's, G League, youth, pro, whoever's tuned into this is going to get something from it. It's going to be beneficial. I hope, as we post this and get your name out there, you know, a little bit more, that, hey, if you get one client more through this avenue, then great. But even if that doesn't happen, this has been a home run for us, because, you know, we talk about on here all the time, we want to do three things with rising coaches, you know, educate, inspire, and challenge. And you've done each one of those three things and all in one in this pod. So just thank you, man, for taking the time. And you're just getting started. So this has been really good.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, again, like I said multiple times, Rising Coach was important to me. But, like, I know what coaches go through on a daily basis. It's not an easy job. And there's people here to support them in other ways. And that's all what I want to be. So I went to the Michigan State Rutgers women's basketball game last night. I'm friends with the staff on Michigan State, and unbelievable coaches. But that was the first time I sat in the bleachers of a college game in a long time. I'm like, I'm having more fun doing this. I had my hot dog, and I was, you know, but I'm still watching, and my head's going like, oh, you can backdoor cut there. Oh, you can set this.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Coaches will never stop coaching. But I appreciate you guys, and whatever I can do to help you guys and help support young coaches and people that are in the industry. I very much want to be a part of, you know, the collegiate athletic and helping those coaches, whether it is with financial planning or not. You know, I guess I still want to be a resource for all those people.
Awesome. No, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. And yeah, if hopefully you get some form of text after this from somebody, once we publish it, you know, a couple people reaching out to you, being able to get more clientele. I know you already got one, but hopefully you can get a couple more. But yeah, thank you very much for hopping on. It definitely does mean a lot. And that does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. You got Doug Caputo and Alan Major. Keep working, keep rising, coaches. Take care, everybody. Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches podcast. For an additional $300 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.